And if you don't have a Bible, look in someone next to you. You might meet your future wife or husband. Long time ago, when I was a youth pastor, they had people turn around and say hello, and this guy, I don't know who was sitting in front of him, but someone, the guy turned around and said, "Hi, my name is Dan." The woman said, "My name is Ann," and they've been married for 20-something years now. So, matter of fact, I want to tell you hello. You already did that, so hopefully you hooked up with somebody. Lord, thank you so much for love. We thank you so much for your faithfulness, and we pray you bless our troops today and tomorrow. Bring them home safe. Protect them. Encourage their families. Thank you for our freedom. And we pray you bless us today and encourage us in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Since I've been a pastor here, 11 years, we started this church 11 years ago. I've gotten a lot of cards written and drawn by little kids. And they'll draw pictures of me or whatever. But there's this one particular girl in the church. She's 8. Her name is Madison. She's been giving me cards since she was 5 or 4. And I've probably gotten, 6 or 7 cards from her. And sometimes I'm orange. Sometimes I'm black. Sometimes I'm brown. Depending on what the crayon she got that day. I don't know. Sometimes me and her are standing there holding hands. And I got a really big head. And sometimes she's praying on her knees and I'm preaching. And sometimes she's on her bike and I'm in the tree. And I was looking at these cards, and I have them at home, and I tell my wife, I wonder, when these cards are going to stop. Not that I love getting them, but she's going to get too old when she's going to make them anymore. But she spends time thinking about the card, drawing it, and she has her prayers on there, little words, and I'm praying for you or whatever, and how much time and effort she puts into this card to bless me. I think about God, who is desperately wants to bless all of you. He does. He loves you very much. I was speaking at Donovan State Prison years ago, and right before I went out to speak, in the yard outside, God told me very clear, "I want you to tell them I love them. And I want you to say those words. I don't want you to just work it in your sermon, and let them figure it out. I want you to tell them that I love them." And he showed me these inmates through his eyes. He said, "Look at these are my pitiful sons, my pitiful creatures. I made them to be so much more than this, and they're warriors. I made them to be warriors, and the devil deceived them, and now they're chained up. Tell them I love them." And so God wants to bless you. So I want to talk today about God wanting to answer your prayers, and why. God wants to answer your prayers. Now, answer your prayers doesn't mean yes. It means an answer, okay? Matter of fact, I think it's Garth Brooks, someone told me today, that he has some song. It's either him or Toby Keith, I don't listen to country. But that they have a song called God's Unanswered Prayers or something. And he sings about a song where he was praying for this girl in high school to date him, and she would never date him. Then 20 or 30 years later, he goes to his high school reunion, and there she is all big, and she's just drinking and smoking, and it's just a slob. And he's like, "God, thank you that you didn't answer my prayer." I'm not saying anything about any of y'all. I'm just saying what was in the song, okay? I'm just saying what was in the song. And the reason I say that is that a lot of times God says no, and that's because he has something better for you. Okay, a lot of you ladies pray for a guy, and he's like, he's not for you now. He got something better for you. Okay, so God can say yes. He can say no. He can say wait. He can say ask is different. He said, "Let's talk about it," but it's a dialogue. God is not our good luck charm. He's not our genie in the bottle. He wants to answer. He wants to bless us, okay? And by the way, God wants to bless you and can bless you better than you can bless you. God wants to and can bless you better than you can bless you. Every time. So you always want God's answer, not your request. Say, "God, I want that. I want to live there in Jesus' name." That means only if you want me to live there. "I want that job in Jesus' name. Only if you want me to have that job." So it's always better. So in the story we're going to look at in 1 Kings 18, it's about a guy named Elijah. Everyone say Elijah. Elijah with a J, not Elisha with a S-H. And in every story in the Bible, there is someone who is God's friend and someone who is God's enemy. And God's friend and God's enemy have conflict. And God is the hero that resolves the conflict. In every story in the Bible, in narratives in the Bible, there's God's friend and God's enemy. They have conflict. Matter of fact, every movie you watch and every television series, 24, which I don't think comes anymore, it's always this way. There's always a good guy and a bad guy. There's a conflict, and they draw you into the conflict. It's always like that. That's what a story is. The whole Bible is a story. God, Adam and Eve, the devil, and there's a conflict. Jesus, and at the end, God wins. Okay, so in this particular story, you have Elijah who believes God, and everybody else in the story doesn't believe God. And God is going to answer Elijah's prayer, and three things are going to happen that are going to give us evidence that God wants to answer our prayer. One, Elijah's going to be encouraged. Two, people who don't believe in God are going to believe in God. And three, God is going to be glorified. God wants to answer his prayer because he's glorified. It makes him look good. Not that he needs to look good, but it reminds us of who he is. Two, when God answers your prayer, it encourages you to trust him. It encourages you to pray. And three, when God answers your prayer, people who don't believe in God all of a sudden pause and go, It makes you want to go, Okay. So in this story, Elijah is a prophet. Ahab is the king of Israel. I'm going to say Ahab. And Ahab convinced the whole country of the nation of Israel to follow the god of Baal. Everyone say Baal. Baal is a fertility god. You worship the fertility god by surrendering your babies to it. In other words, when they built the house, you would bury the baby in the foundation of the house so Baal would bless you. You bury the baby underneath the post of the city, the entrance to the city, so Baal would bless you. So it's idolatry. It's crazy. And so God said, I'm going to judge Israel because you're worshiping the god of Baal, which is basically the devil, and I'm going to have a famine, give you a famine for 3.5 years. No rain. I'm not a drought. No rain. 3.5 years. And so everyone was mad at Elijah because he's the one who pronounced the judgment. And so King Ahab is the king. He's the most wicked king in the history of Israel. He was married to a woman named Jezebel. And so after 3.5 years, Elijah says, it's time for the drought to end, but the drought is going to end when God answers my prayer, and he's going to reveal to all of you that he's a true God and not Baal. And so he's going to call Ahab and all his false prophets and all Israel up to Mount Carmel, and they're going to have a worship service where they're going to have two altars, one altar for the false prophet, one altar for Elijah. He's all by himself, and they're going to both pray to their gods, and whatever God answers by fire, that's the true God. Yeah. Everyone say fire.
Fire.
Say fire. Fire. Let's read the story, chapter 18, verse 20. Chapter 18, verse 20. It says, so Ahab, everyone say Ahab,
Ahab,
sent for all the children of Israel, say Israel, and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. And the people answered not a word. Now Joshua said to the people, choose this day whom you will serve. And they said, we will serve God. Elijah says, choose this day whom you serve. Don't falter in between two opinions. Make one or the other. Is God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob God? Or is the God of Baal God? And they didn't answer. Some people don't want to answer. Y'all have to choose. When you go to work, you go to school tomorrow, everyone's got their own gods. You go, well, you know, I'm spiritual. No, that's not good enough. We were created to be spiritual. That doesn't answer anything. It's good and bad spirits. Do you follow Jesus or not? And so that's what he asked them. And all the Israelites said nothing. They said nothing. He said, that was the problem. That was the problem. That's why you have a drought. You guys won't follow God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who delivered you out of Egypt. So let's keep reading. Verse 22, Elijah said to the people, I alone am left the prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450. Say 50. So Elijah's over here all by himself. There's 450 prophets of Baal over there, Ahab over there, all the Israelites over there, and they follow the prophets of Baal, and they follow Baal. Elijah's all by himself. You and God constitute a majority. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again, then I'm going to pause for emphasis. You and God constitute a majority. That means if you and God are together, who can be against you and fight and win? People can be against you, but they can't win. But when you feel by yourself, you're never by yourself. unless you told God, leave me alone, then you're not by yourself, you're with the devil. Now you're really lost. But if you and God are together, who can be against you? If God tells you, me and you, let's go do this, that's it, that's all you need. Yeah. And so Elijah says, I'm by myself, y'all are over there, and we get ready to have a prayer service, and God's going to do something bada boom, bada bing for me. Okay? Yeah. And look what it says in verse 23. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on wood, the prophets of Baal, but no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. So basically, you cut your bull up, put on an altar. I'm going to cut my bull up, put on an altar, make sure there's no little Bunsen burner pilot flame under here, no pilot flame under here. And then look what it says in verse 24. You call in the name of your gods, I'll call in the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, everyone say fire. The God who answers by fire, he is God. It's on like hot butter popcorn. Now, I want you to think of, I want you to imagine all these people, 450 people, which is almost half of y'all, all y'all, and then the Israelites on top of that, y'all are over there, I'm over here by myself, and I'm saying, y'all pray, and I'm going to pray, and whoever's God has fire causes fire to come out of heaven. When has anybody had... Have any of you ever called on God or seen anybody call out to God in heaven and have fire come out? No. This is going to be good. So whoever answers by fire. Verse 25. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare first. For you are many. Call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Make sure you don't cheat. And then it says, they took the bull which was given to them and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. And there was no voice. No one answered. Verse 27. So it was noontime. Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Maybe he's meditating. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's on a journey. Perhaps he's sleeping. You got to wake him up. Maybe his cell phone's battery died. What's up with your God? Verse 28, they cried aloud and cut themselves as was their customs and blood gushed out. And it was midday was past. They prophesied in the time of the offering to the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Why? Because there's no one there to talk to. There ain't nobody there. The Baal God idol was steel, was metal. A guy sitting in a chair like this. He can't talk. He's metal. Verse 30, Elijah said to all the people, come over here. And all the people came near to him, and he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He calls all the Israelites to him and says, you guys need to get your act together. Once you pay close attention to what your God is going to do, this is the God you need to be believing in, the God you turn your back on. Pay close attention to what's going to happen. Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Everyone say, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. How many sons did he have? Jacob's name was changed to Israel. What was his name changed to? Israel. So all the Israelites were underneath 12 sons. They had 12 patriarchs. So they come from 12 sons. They are 12 months in the year. Jesus had 12 disciples. 12 is the number of governance. 12 months govern the year. 12 hours govern the day. 12 hours govern the night. There's 12 constellations that God put up in the sky to give you 12 pictures of the gospel. It's all God. Verse 32, with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord and made a trench around large enough to hold two seeds of seed. He put water in order. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood. He said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the sacrifice and on the wood. He said, do it a second time. He did it a second time. Do it a third time. He did it a third time. So he cut the wood up, cut the bull up, put the bull on top, and he says, pour water on it. All right. Shh. Do it again. Shh. Do it again. Shh. He said, I don't want y'all, no one in here to be any mistake. There's no little cheat light underneath, no pilot light, nobody down there with a little match. It's wet. God's going to burn that bad boy up. Look what it says in verse 35. The water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Came to pass at that time of the offering and the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, everyone say said. He's going to say like five sentences. That's it. They prayed all day and night. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known. In other words, answer my prayer that it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. Answer my prayer. Why? That this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Lord, answer my prayer. One, that they will know you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that those people would turn their hearts back to you. If you answer my prayer, people will know you are God and they will affirm me and my faith, but also turn those people's hearts back to him. Verse 38. The fire. Everyone say fire. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up. Everyone say licked up. Licked up the water that was in the trench. And look what it says in verse 39. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. These are all the Jews. And said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Number one in your notes. Answered prayer glorifies God. Answered prayer glorifies. When God answers your prayer, it makes him look good. Now, you would say, well, why is he all about looking good? It's not about him looking good. It's just whenever he does anything, it makes him look good. God is glorified every single day. The problem is people don't acknowledge him for the glory that he deserves. Every single day the sun comes up. It's 93 million miles away, and it comes up on time every single day. It has a path in the sky that is precise, and it sets on time every single day. There's billions of stars in the sky that are right in the exact location they're supposed to be. We set our clocks by the sky. There's 12 constellations that come out at the same time every single year. God is glorified, but we just take it for granted. My daughter and I were walking in the hills the other day, 3 or 4 days ago, and I saw this flock of birds, little tiny birds, sparrows. I don't know what kind of birds they were. They're little tiny birds. And I was telling them when I grew up in New York as a kid, every fall, the birds would fly south. Anybody remember that? Anybody? How many of y'all don't know this experience? How many of y'all just don't want to raise your hand? Okay, so if you live in the East Coast and the North, when winter comes, the birds, they congregate for a few weeks. I don't know how long it is, but it seemed like a few weeks of days. And they get their plans together to fly south where it's warm. And so the trees will start, you know, there'll be 2 birds, 3 or 4 birds in the summer. But now there's like 500 birds in one tree. And they're all talking. They're making their plans. You got your food. You got the map. You got your kids. Everyone ready? Okay, we're going to be here tomorrow. And this is really what they do. Y'all don't believe me, but it's true. Y'all, it's just, how many, can someone say amen who's been there? Y'all seen it? And so there'll be one day, there'll be like 50 birds, and the next day, there'll be 100 birds, and there'll be 200 birds, and they make it, and then you see in the sky all these birds by the thousands flying south for days. It's, wow, it's like the army, just planes and birds and birds and birds, and they're going south where it's going to be warm because winter's coming, and they do it like clockwork. Clockwork. How? God. There's a little fish called a parrotfish. The parrotfish is in the water. It's a fish. The parrotfish, when it goes to sleep at night, it spits out mucus and it makes a mucus bubble around his body. And he sleeps in the bubble. But then he wakes up, comes out of the bubble. God says, God has a little freaky gene. He does freaky, freaky stuff. There's fish in the water so deep, there is no light. Sunlight has never been down there so far. And there's fish down there with lights on their body. They have these little, there's one particular fish has these tentacles, and they have lights on the end. And then one has a light across his head. Others have light. There's strobe lights on the body. They change color. And God says, this all stuff makes, look at my creativity. I did all this. And we go, oh, look at that. Oh, look what evolution did. Oh, look at that. It's like, no. So just so you know, I want to be glorified. When you speak to me about your job and I answer that prayer, you know it was me. You know it was me. God is going, look what it says in your notes right there. John 14, verse 13. Right there in your notes. It says, whatever you ask, Jesus talking, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. God wants to get the credit. So when God answers your prayer, give him the credit. Don't be talking about, oh yeah, man, you know, I worked real hard. Look what I got. Oh, you got that? No, give God the credit. Give God the credit. Look what it says. Look what it says in the Bible, verse 37. Look what it says in the Bible, verse 37. It says, look what it says in verse 36. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet said, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God. You are God, not me. You are God, and I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Number two in your notes, answered prayer nurtures non-believers' faith in God. When non-believers see you pray and see God answer your prayer, they do this. You know non-believers are watching you. They listen to your voice, your words. They want to see if there's something different about your life than their life. If there's something different about what you worship versus what they worship. Are you really a person of faith? Is God really on your side? Is God really blessing you? Is God really speaking to you? That's what they're looking for. And if God answers your prayers, you need to give him credit so people know it was God, not you. Because if God's doing it, you're getting all the credit. Oh, he's like, oh, well, it's not that he needs to get the credit, but he needs to get the credit. He needs to be honored and glorified for what he did. But if you're like, oh, God, hook me up, oh, God, hook me up, and then it happens, yeah, look what I did, and your non-Christian friends are looking at you saying, your life is no, you work hard, I work hard. You have good things happen in your life, I have good things happen in my life, so what's the difference? But when God does something in your life, when God does something in your life, and by the way, when you pray and God answers your prayer by habit, your life should be and will be unexplainable because God does unexplainable things. What God does, man can't do. He can do. Man cannot change people's hearts. The guy I used to buy cocaine from goes to church here now. The people we used to all do cocaine with together go to church here now. God, you can't fake that. You can't make that up. And when non-believers hear that story, they go, oh, dang. I can't explain that. Look what it says. Look what it says in verse 37. Elijah says, hear me, O Lord. Why? That this people may know that you are the Lord God. And then it says that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Who is worthy of worshiping and who is worthy to trust our life with except the God who has power over life? Nobody. Nobody. Thirdly, answered prayer improves the faithfulness in believers. I watched a Christian man, he was a running back on the Chargers. He was 6'4", 225 pounds. I'm not even 6 foot. I'm just under 6 feet. So he's 4 inches taller than me. He was 220 pounds, 45 pounds heavier than me. He had 18-inch arms, about the same size. Just a little jokey joke, He was ripped. And he would work out one day a week. He would come in the locker room with no shirt on, and we would all whistle at him. Dude was ripped. And he'd walk in like this, and, you know, we'd all throw stuff at him. Hey, you know, hey. Because he was a running back. So he was like, you know, running into the line, bam, blowing people up, getting blown up. It just, you know, hitting guys 300 pounds, boom, 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 boom. One day he's in practice. We're in shorts, and he's jogging. And I don't know if you remember Coach Coriel was probably my favorite coach of all time in San Diego Chargers. And Coach Coriel was like, he was like 5'9", about 160. Come on, you guys. Get over there. One of the best people I ever met in my life. Sweet, sweet man. And he was like, come on. And he was standing on the field. And Sherman, the running back, 6'4", 225 pounds, ripped. Mandingo kind of brother. For all y'all know who knows what that means. And he was running. And all he was just jogging like this. And he just did that. Blew his knee out, ended his career. Just like that. No one touched him. No one touched him. And coach looked at him, what happened? Done. Surgery, boom. A few months later, boom, I blew my knee. A few weeks later, boom, Kellen Winslow, who was the tight end back in the day, blew his knee. For all y'all who know the Kellen Winslow playing now, that's his son. So we're in Bible study all with casts on our leg, and the Kellen that you know playing in the NFL was 1 or 2 years old, rolling around the floor playing. We're in the thing, and the guy, Sherman, blew his knee out, and he says, my life is in the Lord's hand. And I was like, I want that strength. I need that strength. We were praying when we were getting this building. We needed $14 million to close escrow. Escrow was scheduled to close on September 15, 2005. On September 1st, 2005, 2 weeks before, we needed $5.5-6 million. Next 2 weeks, we got to close escrow. All the plan, we're closing escrow, we're starting construction, everybody's waiting. On September 4th, we got a check for $5.5 million. September 6th, we closed. The check got, everything went worked out with the check. And then September 15th, we closed escrow. And October 15th, 30 days later, we started construction. And through the construction period, we always needed, you know, $5 million. I don't know why. It was always $5 million, $3 million, whatever. And every day, CFO was like, Miles, we need $5 million. I'm like, God is good. Just chill. God got bank. We just don't have bank. Amen. But how do we get the bank from God to give the bank he has? We do this. So one day we needed some cash. And he came and we got a problem. I said, let's get on our knees right now. Because you're stressing me out right now. And we're going to pray. So we prayed, bada boom, bada bing, da 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 da. And right as we were getting up, someone knocked on his door. And they said, we just got a rebate, some check, because we have an energy efficient building of $75,000. Guys, so my point is this. The answer is what makes prayer most real to us. If you pray and nothing happens, what happens in the spiritual world and you never see it, then it's real, but it's not real to us. God wants to answer your prayer in a way that you go, oh, that was God. And so my point is you need to keep praying. You need to keep seeking him. And by the way, is he going to answer today, right now, all the time? No, he's going to string you out. I'm going to tell you that he's going to string you out. Why? Because you don't really mean it. You know, you're like, okay, God, a quick fix. Can I have this? Oh, it didn't happen. Oh, okay, well, you ain't real. Nah. It's like women do this. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Oh, women do this. That's right. And it's in your DNA from the womb. It's in your DNA from the womb. They'll be like this. There was a little girl. She was, I'll tell you the little girl version of the story and the adult girl version of the story. When I was 19 years old, there was a little girl. I was working in Brooklyn. I was an inspector for this construction site in Brooklyn. It was a Puerto Rican and Hasidic Jew neighborhood. And this little girl was 5. Her name was Jackie. She had me wrapped around her finger. Amen. Wrapped around her finger. I would do anything she asked me. There'd be construction site noise, jackhammer, gunfire, bop, 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 bop. I was in Brooklyn, bop, 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 bop. Sorry for all the people watching in Brooklyn, but you know what I'm talking about. And the L train was going by, da, 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 da. And she would be way down the street, and she would do this. She called me LL. I have no idea. That was my nickname. LL. That's all she would say. She didn't have to scream. She didn't have to wave. LL. And no matter what noise was happening, I would hear that. It's like a little feather would just come through the air. And here's what she would do. She was so smooth. She'd be like this, L-L. And I would look, she'd be way down the street. She's like this big, right? She's little, 5 years old. She would do this. Adult version, I meet my wife. I met my wife, and I said, I told my friend when she walked into the party, I'm going to marry that girl. And I ended up marrying her. But when I first met her, I asked her to dance, and she said no. Then finally, then she said yes. And then we went out to dance. Then I asked her for a phone number. She said no. I said, well, how am I going to see you? Here's what she said. You will figure it out. Women do this. Ladies, say hey if you know what I'm talking about. Hey. See what I'm saying? Guys like to the point, right? We want to, let's talk right now, do it right now. And women just want to drag it out. So well, here's what God's going to say is, do you really trust me? Do you really want me to bless you? Do you really want to have a conversation? Are you using me right now just to deal with your problem today? So I'm going to make you, I want you to seek me with your whole heart. God is not as nearly concerned with you being happy as you being holy. And holy takes time, takes effort, takes self-sacrifice. So you getting what you want today is not on his agenda at all. At all. I want you to be holy. So in a minute, we're going to pray. Some of y'all need to pray to God and say this to God. God, I need you to forgive me of my sin. I need salvation. I go to church, but I'm not saved. I need salvation. I need Jesus in my life. Some of you have a burden too heavy to carry. When you lift your hands in worship, one of the messages you are sending to God is that you are letting go of that burden. And you are asking him to give you a blessing in return. He says, give you his burden and then give him your burden and receive from him his burden, which is light. So you need to say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you and my burden to you. That's what you're saying to God. So some of you need to pray to God. And by the way, you need to pray expecting him to forgive you today, right now. He says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful to forgive and cleanse, which means you don't have to do it anymore. You don't. I used to do cocaine. I don't. I used to smoke marijuana. Don't. We don't have time to go through all the other things. But I don't. And so you're saying, God, I'm giving my burden to you, and I want to receive from you deliverance. I want to be free. I need a job. I need a relationship. I need a healing in my relationship. I need a deliverance from my addiction. So let's all bow our heads and pray. If you're watching online, bow your heads and pray. Lord, you are so faithful. Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. Because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And God knows every single one of you, and he's wanting to bless you so much. He is praying for you. The Lord prays for us all the time. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. But you have to pursue him. You have to be persistent. You have to be serious, all in. Those Navy SEALs that were in the service this week, they're all in. All in. And you have to pray expecting God is going to respond. And to respond to you in ways with things that you never could get anywhere else. And his response is going to be wrapped up like meat in a burrito with love. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like to receive his forgiveness, his encouragement, if you'd like to surrender yourself to God, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But pray with faith, believing and trusting he is who he said he is. And he will do what he says he will do. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I surrender. Please forgive me. Please love me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Espiritu Santo. Fill my heart. Please take my burden, God. I surrender my life to you right now. If you prayed that prayer in the privacy of your heart by faith, in a minute, we're going to ask you to stand up. If you're watching online, we're going to ask you to let us know online that you prayed so we can pray with you. But if you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing, you are acknowledging that you are surrendering your life to Christ. You're acknowledging that you are casting your burden on Him. And that you also expect and anticipate an answer. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge your prayer, your faith. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you.